2024. See ya. Welcome everybody to 2025 and a new season of Toronto Blue Jays Baseball. Good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, January 2nd, and welcome to episode 226 of Buds and Blue Jays. It's your place for all things related to the Toronto Blue Jays. Jesse Burrell joined by Jesse Tricio, and today on the show, we take one final look back at the 2024 season, talk about some of the things that we are planning to leave behind in 2024, whether it be some players that we don't like, whether it be some manager decisions we don't like, roster building, philosophies that go on, whatever it may be, we are leaving it behind in 2024 and not bringing it with us in 2025. Plus, as we turn to 2025, we are going to take our stab at making some bold predictions, if you will, for what we think 2025 is going to look like in Blue Jays baseball. All that and so much more coming ahead in this episode. But first, Jesse, Happy New Year. Glad to be back after a one-week hiatus here. How were your holiday seasons? How were your New Year's? Did you make any New Year's resolutions that you plan to follow this year?
Oh, definitely a busy time in my household, going to city to city and just being a dad and Santa for all the ones. It was definitely much needed a week off, and thankfully how my schedule worked for work, we were closed on Christmas and Boxing Day, so I had a free week vacation off, so I got a nice time with the family. Definitely was spoiled by my wife and with a lot of things she gave me, and New Year's was a good time. Definitely have some resolutions, like the typical ones, but definitely more so thinking of like what I don't want to be doing a resolution as a Jays fan right now.
That's true. Did you get any Blue Jays merch or any gear or any Blue Jays related items for your under your tree this year?
Yeah, my mother-in-law actually surprised me with a Vladdy City Connect jersey. I'm not wearing it right now, but definitely be rocking that hopefully if I get to one of the night mode games.
Yeah, that is awesome. I don't know for sure yet. The Blue Jays haven't announced it, but you got to believe they're bringing back the City Connect, the night mode stuff, as I think they went over quite well with the Toronto Blue Jays last year. You and I both have hats, and now you got a jersey to go for it. Me, myself, Christmas, New Year's was always good. Always got to see some family. I did get home opener tickets for the home opener on the 27th of March or whenever it is against Baltimore. So we will be at the home opener, and it's just as we look outside here and there is snow blowing all throughout Southern Ontario here, we are thinking baseball, and we are less than, 80 some days away now from opening day. So it will be here before you know it, and we are getting very excited.
No, definitely excited to be there with you, and we'll definitely make some great content for all you viewers out there as well. Just to make you more excited too, because it's just over a month till pitchers and catchers report, and
yes,
boy, we'll have a lot to talk about then.
6 weeks away, but until then, that happens. This Blue Jays team is certainly not complete. They have done really nothing, unless you count re-signing Jimmy Garcia or signing a Josh Walker, and then I guess the Andrés Giménez trade is really all the Blue Jays have done this offseason so far. We know there are going to be some moves coming. We will address some of the rumors that we have going on here, but boy, Jesse, before we get into the Anthony Santander rumors and some other free agent rumors that are going on, give me a thought on what the Blue Jays offseason has been so far.
Abysmal. Like, I am I'm getting sick and tired of saying, oh, we're interested or we're front runners and we're getting sweet F all. Like, is it because we're in Canada and there's all the border stuff and taxes and like or the environment, but like if we're sinking all this money into the Rogers Center, and you're not giving anything for the fans to be excited about, what are we doing? Like I'm ready to hit the nuke button, blow it up, clean house from up top all the way down to even possibly have Rogers not be the owners, because clearly they rather have the money for different program, like different sporting events and MLSE and all that. I'd rather us have an owner, Steve Cohen, who wants to make a fantasy team. Like, bring us the big names, sign our key players like Bo and Vladdy, make them Jays for life. We know Vladdy wants to be a Jay for life. He's been out there saying this. Bring in the big names like Corbin Burns, which, again, I understand he lives in Arizona, it makes sense, no taxes, but push those extra money. Like, even with the Minnesota's case, and last year with the Ohtani, like, why are we not getting these players, and why are we not fixing what has dreaded us a lot since 2021, where we can't even hit a ball out the, except for one player, outfield, and get homers.
Jesse, I love the idea of booting Edward Rogers out of here, but that's not going to happen until he, you know, passes away or has a massive change of heart or something. But I love the precedent there. We've talked about this on our last episode with Scott Dulford from The Walk-Off, who said, like, essentially what it comes down to is that the Toronto Blue Jays, like, they can offer out all the money in the world, right? But you have to make sure you have a good system to build on. Like, players are smart. They see the Blue Jays don't have any players really under contract past 2026. Our farm system is one of the worst in baseball. There's no contingency in the manager seat, in the general manager seat, anywhere like that. And why would you be committing to spend 8 years, 9 years, 10 years here with this franchise if you have no certain direction you want to go in? Like, players want to win. And they look at the Toronto Blue Jays right now and simply don't see how you can win within the next 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. And that's been the reason why we can't get those players. And the old adage of just throw the most money at somebody, they will sign where the most money is, I think has proven that is not true this winter.
Oh, 100%. Like, we offered more money for Burns, but he goes to Arizona. We offered pretty much as much, if not more, for Ohtani last year. Goes to LA. If this, like, we are, like, Rogers will spend money for these generational players, then why aren't you doing it for the ones we have that are entering their prime in Bo and Vladdy? Mm-hmm. And then down in our farm system, there's no one. Like, we have some good names that we could surprise and become those players, but we don't have like the Yanks have, like a Spencer Jones or like the cornucopia of how many the Orioles have in their system. Like, we don't have that. Why? Because we know, like, anyone that we think could be a big piece, like, we thought Hagen Aaron could be a league closer for the Jays possibly in the next year. No, we just DFA him. And right. Just, like, why? Like, he could be an integral part, but you keep guys who have ERAs almost to a million, and, like, mm-hmm. players like Easton Lucas or Zach Poop and, like, all these guys who are really not going to be like those elite players, and just bite the bullet, know you messed up, fix it, and bring those players in. Like, I'm sick and tired of, like, how we've been told Ross Atkins and them don't like looking stupid. No, you're looking more like an idiot day in and day out, not doing anything to fix the team.
That's exactly it. And Jesse, to your point, I don't think I trust this general manager group to lead that charge, to go out and fix things. And that's why, like you mentioned earlier, a clean sweep is almost necessary. And that's why I think as we look a little bit into 2025, this is going to be a very growing year for the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm going to bring this up a little later, but I'll bring it up here now. I think this year is going to be a big year of transition for the Toronto Blue Jays, right? You could look at it in a couple ways. This is the last year we have Vlad under the books. This is the last year we have Bo Bichette under the books. This is also the last year, like, Mark Shapiro is under contract for. John Schneider is under contract for. Ross Atkins has one more year after this. There is a club option on John Schneider. But if you wanted to make wholesale, big top-of-the-year changes for the Toronto Blue Jays, this might be the year to do it. And the fact that we haven't done much in the free agency market or even Andrés Giménez aside in the trade market to try to get someone in here, this could be a tough year to watch on the field, but could be the start of something brand new, a new era, if you will, of Toronto Blue Jays baseball. And that's one of the things I think we hope to see in 2025.
Oh, 100%. Like I've been saying for, like, even since last year, Click to win. Like, we have James Click. Why are we not having him run this ship? He's built dynasties with Houston. He knows how to develop players and when to bring them up and make those ballsy moves to get a free agent. Or like how Anthopoulos brought in Tulo Price and all that in 2015. That's 10 years ago now. We haven't had any like ballsy moves like that. Yeah, we signed Gosman. Yeah, we made that Berrios trade. But those don't turn heads or turn pages or put assets in seats. What puts assets in seats is winning and pedigree, exactly. Championship pedigree. Not the flight deck or all these renovations. Yeah, they're cool, but now you have to rent them out to enjoy them.
Mm-hmm. So I agree. It's the product on the field, right? That's at the end of the day, that's what we all want, is we want to see a winning baseball team in Toronto. And I think you and I and basically the Blue Jays franchise or fan base as a whole all don't think that is going to happen. But good talking point to start the episode here. Let's dive into some of the Blue Jays rumors, I guess, with all the caveats of what we just said earlier going into this episode. The Blue Jays are rumored again, and here's that word, front runners for Anthony Santander. Hector Gomez, who has been right on some stuff, has been wrong on some other stuff, but definitely does have a Blue Jays source somewhere in there, has rumored to believe the Blue Jays have offered 4 years, $82 million for Anthony Santander. We are running out, Jesse, honestly, of impact free agents at this point, and the Blue Jays front office has gaslighted us forever, saying, nope, we're going to compete, we're going to build. Is Anthony Santander, is he the guy? Is he going to be the one that actually takes our money?
Let's hope, but if not, I'm ready to use that photo I've been posting every time we missed out lately. We're missed out the top one, but we missed out again. Like, if he ends up in the Angels, I don't even know what the hell I will do. Like, or even if somehow we're rumored with Bregman or Alonso and they end up elsewhere, this is, like, we're always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Like, it's a frustrating last few years. Like you said, it's probably going to be another version of IKF and Kiermaier and all that this year with what's going on right now.
Boy, if you're the Blue Jays and you lose out to a free agent to the LA Angels, like, I understand, okay, California versus Toronto, but Toronto's great in the summer. Like, if they're picking the Angels over you, you got to do some soul searching here, buddy. The Angels, Ohtani and Trout and everything still haven't put together a good team since, what, the late 2000s? It's like, come on, man. Like, that should be the kick in the butt to really get you going if that is the case. On the player himself, Anthony Santander, look, switch hitter, a guy hits for power. He can stand in the outfield and be okay. But, you know, since we traded Horowitz, he can play some backup first base. He can be your full-time DH. He probably becomes the Blue Jays' second-best hitter if we were indeed to sign him. You know, at this point, it's like we're running out of guys. And yeah, you know, the contract might age poorly. And if the power goes away, there's not much else to fall back on. But at this point, if you're the Blue Jays, you need impact almost anywhere you can get it. You might as well throw your dart at a guy who just hit 40 some home runs. And even if he only hits 31 next season, you'll still take that and he'll still be one of your better hitters.
No, exactly. And like realistically, if you look at our roster, there isn't maybe Vladdy sure he can hit 40. Like, he has the potential, but that's not guaranteed. Like, if we have at least two with 30-plus, I'd be happy. Because other than Vladdy, the only one that I can see hitting more than 25 could be Bo if he has a resurgence. But that's asking a lot because he barely did that in the 2021 season when he went off.
Let's do a fun experiment because you piqued my interest a little bit. Out of all the Blue Jays on the current roster, who are the guys who have a chance to hit 30 home runs? Like, could you see George Springer hitting 30 home runs again?
God, no.
Okay. Dalton Varsho hit 27 his last year in Arizona. Can you see him hitting the 30 home run?
I think he could, but again, depending on how long he's out with that shoulder and like if he probably figures it out. No, exactly. Like, he has the potential. He did it in Arizona, which is a way bigger park than Toronto. And if his shoulder is good and he's not missing as much time, yeah, I can see him doing it. Realistically, the only players I can see doing it, and it'd be a stretch, would be like Barger with the power he has, if he figures out the strike zone, or Relvis if he can figure it out and isn't suspended again. Like, those guys I can see doing it, but it's not many on our main roster right now that I can have, like, put fear at the plate.
So your point stands, Jesse. I agree with all of that. Barger might be actually my next best chick here. I'm going to throw a wild name at you, and I just want a quick thought on it. What about Davis Schneider? Do you think he could unlock it and try to hit 30 home runs again?
If he figures it out how to hit a high pitch and becomes Babe Schneider again, then, like, obviously not that type of level the whole season, because if he does that, that's MVP right there. But
yes.
But if he can give us a happy median, yeah, I can see him pushing the 20 to 30 home runs and maybe close to 80 RBIs and all that, which would be great. But when now Jimenez at second, where are we going to put him? Because
stand him out in left field, I guess, right?
Again, but if with Santander, would he be our left fielder then with Varsho in center and Springer in right?
Well, Varsho will be out to start the year, but yeah. But the Blue Jays have a ton of options. Like, Nathan Lucas is still on this roster. We have Jonathan Class A still on this roster. And then in the infield, you have a bunch of guys that you could throw out there as well. So it is tough. And whoever hits, I think is going to be the one that stands out. I don't think any of us think they're going to have 30 home runs pop. And that's why signing a guy like a Santander is so paramount. I saw some stat on Twitter, and I think all the postseason teams last year hit about 180-ish home runs last year. So that seems to be the guideline of home runs you should probably hit in a season if you want to consider yourself a playoff team. The Blue Jays were about 30 to 35 under that line. And if you just simply plug in last year's roster, throw in Santander, who could hit you 35 home runs, then you're there. But that's taking a lot to go right for this team. And I think the Blue Jays need more because, sure, like Aurelvis Martinez could be a 30 home run hitter this year. Addison Barger could be a 30 home run hitter. But why wouldn't you also take that chance and then also add a guy who you know you can do it? Because now you could get two 30 home run hitters on your team this year instead of just one guy who could do it. And that's what I think the Blue Jays really aren't missing out on.
No, exactly. And like if you look at that 2021 or even the 22 season, we had at least two in the 30, especially in 21. We had two in 40 plus with Simeon and Vladdy. But the year after, you had like Teo, you had Springer, who I believe had 20. Vladdy was low 30s. Like we had the pop Morris and the power Guerrero around him
that year too.
Exactly. And like we had those people, like those players, like able to help offensively, and we weren't just playing the opposite field. We, like the main thing, we got pull the ball. So you know, like, only a few players, even in the league, can hit have more power opposite field than some, like, and none of them are Blue Jays. So
yes, I agree. All right, so that's our thought on Santander. Would you you'd rather him over like Alonso or Bregman? Correct.
I've always loved the polar bear. Just like it just suited okay. too for being Canada, the polar bear. Like it's just
right.
Like I've always been a Pete Alonso fan, even when his rookie year where he went off, where he pretty much him and Judge that year were like almost the same, and both were on New York teams. I would like that, especially as an insurance plan in case Vladdy walks after next year, because clearly he's not wanting the offer even after his MVP or when we offered him 150, and we just offered him I think $350 recently, or whatever support we offered him, $350, and he turned it down right away after Soto deal. So it's like, at least we have that insurance plan, because if Vladdy walks, at least we have that big power bat that could, in the middle of the order, that can replace in the same position. So like, if we can get Alonso and a Santana in there, it would hurt. It still would hurt if Vladdy left, but at least it's kind of a bridge and like a little safety net.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, but it's worth a dream. I'm in the point now where I think it's, if we're not getting Roky Sasaki, which I don't think any of us really think he's going to land in Toronto, then I think it's Anthony Santander or that's it. Like, I don't want to sign Daniel Vogelbach again. And even like Josh Bell just signed with the Nationals. So it's like, even those options are going away and you're not going to be able to impact your team there. So this seems to be getting into the tier where it's the last real chance of signing a guy that could like potentially really impact your team. And I think the Blue Jays should look to do so. One other rumor, Jesse, before we get into the rest of our content here, is that there's a Cardinals guy, a Cardinals source who's been going around, who's been right about some things in the past, but he has mentioned the Blue Jays has been poking around the Cardinals system a little bit. We've talked about Ryan Helsley. Ken Rosenthal reported they don't think the Cardinals are going to trade Ryan Helsley, but maybe the Blue Jays are just trying to dig that out a little bit. But one name they mentioned out of St. Louis that could be an interest back to the Toronto Blue Jays is old friend Steven Matz. And that was a name we haven't heard in a while. Blue Jays fans remember, I think it was the 2022 season he pitched for us down the stretch. He pitched well. We let him go in free agency. He signed a big deal with the St. Louis Cardinals. Hasn't pitched well. He's been hurt a lot for them in their time. But do you have a thought about Steven Matz maybe coming back here and joining the Blue Jays? It's an interesting thought experiment.
Oh, definitely. Like, if the price is right and like we're not giving up way too much for him, sure, I'd be happy to bring him back, because he did have success working with Pete Walker and our pitching staff and all that. He pitched great. If I remember too, that season, he had a really good home record. And so that could really help us as well. Maybe sometimes, like, look what happened to Brett Cecil when he left the Jays to the Cardinals. It did not work well. So maybe we can bring him back. He finds what he lost when he left for St. Louis, and we can eat some of the money and maybe even have a little, like, addition to it. Maybe if Helsley came in the package, obviously we would have to give a lot more. That'd be great. But even if we brought in someone like a Nubart or like Jordan Walker, like one of their younger players, to help fill as much holes that we have, why not bring him back?
Yeah, on paper, in theory, it makes a lot of sense. And if the Cardinals are looking to shed salary and we choose to eat Steven Matz's salary, even if the Cardinals are just trying to get rid of him, maybe we can get one of those players back in return. So I like where the Blue Jays are thinking at here. And even if Steven Matz could probably be your Ryan Yarbrough replacement, you could start him a few times, throw him in that bullpen, have him become the long man. I kind of like it. It's not a needle mover in any means. Like the 2.2 WAR he put up in that 2021 season, none of us think that is going to happen again for Steven Matz, but it's a guy who can get you outs. He can get out lefties. He can do some decent things. He's a major league arm, and the Blue Jays simply just need major league arms. So I kind of like the idea here.
Oh, 100%, especially with the lack of depth in pitching because all our pitchers had Tommy John this year. So until some of those players come back, and I think it would be a good addition. And if it doesn't work out, bite the bullet and send him off it, because I believe he only has a year left, if I'm correct. So you can maybe turn add a couple prospects, maybe like to the level of like a Charles McAdoo, like lower, like mid level prospects that could maybe be our nucleus of the next window of winning we have. But it doesn't hurt to bring someone who is familiar with and all that and give them that prove it kind of season.
All right, Jesse, I like the idea. I like the move. Let's get on now to the meat of our episode, Jesse. And this is things we are leaving behind in the 2024 season. 2024 was not a great year for the Toronto Blue Jays. We all came in with high hopes coming off of back-to-back playoff appearances where we didn't win a game, but we thought, good things were going to happen this year. George Springer took another step back. Bo Bichette took another step back. Vlad turned out to be great, but that was really the only one. Our pitching side took a little bit of a step back as well. Our bullpen, Jordan Romano, would never had it. It was things that could have gone wrong for the Toronto Blue Jays in 2024 really did go wrong in 2024. So a lot of lessons learned. You and I have talked about this in the past as some of our main takeaways, but I want to hear the things that we are leaving behind this season. And Jesse, I'll let you go first with your first one. What is something that you learned in 2024 that you want to leave there, not bring with us going forward for the Blue Jays?
That hitting the opposite, going oppo field, not the best success. Mm-hmm. You got to pull the ball, get the ball in the air. That's how we score runs, let alone it's a two for having that and also having contact hitters that aren't with no pop. We need to get rid of that.
I'm with you, Jesse. I think the hitting strategy of trying to string together three singles in an inning to score one run is significantly harder than just have one guy put the ball over the fence, right? That seems so much easier to scoring runs. And yes, sure, maybe you will get more big innings if you can throw together, a bunch of hits in a row. But you know what else is a big inning? Get two guys on and hit a three-run home run, right? That is also going to do the same thing. I'm with you. And I think, Jesse, the Blue Jays are listening to you as well. With Don Mattingly being taken out of his role a little bit, we got a new hitting coach coming in. When Popkins was hired as the hitting coach, one of the things he said is, he wants to have guys be more aggressive and really hammer the pitches in the zone that they're getting. So, Jesse, I think the Blue Jays are listening to you here, and hopefully this is something they want to leave behind this season. I like the call.
Oh, definitely. One can hope that's what happens, and meet the ball up front and don't wait till he comes to you attack. That was our biggest success in 2021 when we were one of the best offenses. Yes, we didn't make the playoffs because of the Nationals and the dreaded AL East, but we literally were attacking, we were sitting at first pitch and attacking that first pitch, not waiting to get our pitch. They need to attack.
Yeah, I like the idea of building your lineup with some guys that can do that. Like Ernie Clement, even though he hit a handful of home runs, is never going to be that matcher guy. Alejandro Kirk is probably never really going to be that massive home run guy, but you need to build your lineup with other guys. You can't have 9 spray hitters throughout your lineup and expect to do some damage. You can't have Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and Leo Jimenez and all these guys and fill your roster with them and think, yeah, this is it. We're going to score some runs. It doesn't work that way. Jesse, I love that. And I really do hope that that is one of the main things the Blue Jays can keep going forward or leave behind, in the 2024 season. Jesse, I'm going to go with my next one here. And I want John Schneider to be better at making his lineup constructions. And I say this by, I understand playing the matchups. Put your lefties in against a tough righty. Take your guys who's got the good swing playing against the sinker baller. I understand all of that. But at the same point, there was something to be said about riding the hot hand, letting the guy come in who has a good game. You know, success breeds confidence. And if you're a confidence baseball player, you're going to perform better, right? Coming off a guy who hits a 2-home run game and benching him the next day. David Schneider hits a massive home run off Josh Hader, not in the lineup for 3 games after that. Like, I understand it might not be on paper the best matchup, that potential that day. But if you'll remember, the game after that David Schneider hit that home run off Josh Hader early in the season, we got no hit by Ronel Blanco, right? Or maybe I have that backwards, one or the other. But either way, it's like you need to ride your hot hand. Play matchups mostly, but if a guy is hot, put him in there. And also hit him leadoff. Like, if Leo Jimenez has a 4-for-5 day and you like the exit velocities he's been putting off, don't be afraid to lead him off the next day. Worst case, he goes 0-for-4. George Springer's probably going to go 0-for-4 anyway. And then you can just move him down after that. But, like, with a team that really struggles to score runs, putting your better hitters together to try to create some cluster luck, if you will, seems the best way to maximize your run scoring output. And the Jays need to milk everything they can out of their offense to be a competent team. And I really, really, really want to see John Schneider do more of that next season.
Oh, 100% agree. Like, I remember, like, when Varsho was super hot against the Rockies, his two, like, a grand slam to win the game. Next day, me and Riley talking about, like, he needs to be in the lineup. He was bench, and then we lose that series. It's like, ride the hot hand. Like, yes, they may not succeed against a certain pitcher, but if they're hot, they're hot. Like, a simple, like, baseball 101, like, as a fan, and even us playing, like, if you're hot and you have the confidence, you feel like the ball is a beach ball to hit, not a freaking golf ball.
Yeah. Doesn't matter if it's slinging down from a low arm angle or what it is. Like, and when a player gets hot too, they can single-handedly carry your teams to victories, which is sometimes you need to do. Dalton Varsho in that Rocky series. I remember he went to San Diego. He had a massive series there. He was really good. And the Blue Jays are full of, like, these streaky hitters. Like, Davis Schneider is going to be a hot and cold hitter. He's going to have weeks, like, in his rookie year in Boston, he won the Blue Jays those games. Joey Loperfido, Addison Barger are going to be those type of players who are going to go ice cold for like 2 weeks, but then are going to hit 3 home runs in a 5-game stretch. Like, those are the type of players you want to get in there and you want to really maximize when they are going well. So you really, really, really need to take advantage of those stretches. So I'm with you, my guy.
Oh, 100%. And like, even some of those base road, like the speed we have too, like if they're able to like steal, let them steal. Don't give them the green light no matter what, like unless you're like Kirk or Vladdy. But like if we have a Class A or the in there or Jimenez or any of our speed guys, even Aaron Clement, who's one of the fastest guys on the team and no one talks about, if give them the green light, because even the on the base path, I know you hate small ball, but that can give a hole for one of those slap hitters, put the ball through.
And that's the thing. And that way, instead of having to get 3 singles in an inning to score a run, you can get a hit by pitch, a stolen base. Now you just need 1 single to score a run. And that would be a lot better. I understand sometimes you're going to run yourself out of an inning and sometimes that's going to suck. But again, it's all about maximizing your offensive output. And I believe the Blue Jays need to do more of that this year. Jesse, give me another one. Another thing you are planning to leave behind in 2024 or 2025.
The line I've been saying all last year, the bullpen. I want that bullpen completely flushed down the toilet with Zach Poop and like just mine outside. Bring back the fear, like the certainty of closing out a game when it hits the seventh inning and letting our pitchers actually pitch past the sixth inning, which would be great too. But just let our big dogs in the bullpen eat and close out the game. So try and use the analytics. I know you like your analytics, but let those let the stars finish their games and have to be pulled out with the lead and then give it to like Garcia, Swanson if he has a bounce back, Chad Green, like, and let them finish the game out, not bring in a Littell in the fourth inning then try to get 12 outs with their bullpen.
So Jesse, in theory I agree with you, that would be fantastic. Having a better bullpen would be great. But I'm just looking at the depth chart of our bullpen right now, and I understand more moves are going to come through, there's going to be additions here, but right now, Chad Green's our closer. Do you think Chad Green is better next year than he was this year? Or is it going to be worse or about the same?
I feel like he'll be about the same, maybe a little bit better, especially as 2 years post Tommy John. Like, usually after that, like, after you have Tommy John, it's your first full season back isn't like what it was before. Then you gain that strength, and once you're, I would give it like a full 2 years post Tommy John, usually most pitchers are back to what they used to be.
See, I'm going to argue that Chad Green is going to be worse next year. He did run out of gas down the stretch towards the end of the season, but 3.21 ERA, his expected ERA was over 3.80, which is, he's only had, since his rookie year, he's had one season worse than that. I think he's going to be worse. Jimmy Garcia was phenomenal for the Toronto Blue Jays in the first half of last season. One of the best relief pitchers in all of baseball. He got on and off hurt again. We trade him to Seattle. He makes, what, 9 innings pitch with Seattle. Doesn't pitch well. Shut down for the season. Do we think Jimmy Garcia is going to be better than he was this year and last year?
I think he, it could be a bit of a regression, but not like where we're like, why did we sign him? Just because those numbers he was putting up before he had that back issue with Toronto, those are like unheard of, like video game numbers. Like, if I'm correct, he had like a sub-1 ERA, like sub-1 WHIP, like just stupid numbers, and like that you haven't seen since like the league closes from like the early 2000s, like of like Mariano Hoffman and stuff like that. Like, those numbers were crazy what he was putting up. Like, yes, it's not sustainable, but I feel like he'd be a medium where like his first season with the Jays, where he was good when we first signed him, where he was one of our big pieces in the back end setting up for Romano. Like, I feel like he could be one of those type, like that echelon of pitcher.
Okay, it's great. It makes sense. Like, he's probably our best guy in our bullpen currently, but I'm looking at the rest of the names on this list. Like, I don't think Eric Swanson's good. I'm sorry. I know he was good down the stretch last year. I think a lot of it was fluky. He had a FIP of 6, Jesse, 6. Like, it's dead awful last year. And I think the Blue Jays are putting way too much stock in that little run he came out at the end of last season. So I think he might be trouble. Nick Sandlund, who we've done our dive in when we traded him from Cleveland. We had Zach from the At the Corner podcast on to talk a little bit about Nick Sandlund. He was relieved to see him go. I don't think he loves what he's seen from Nick Sandlund. If you remember, the Blue Jays actually hit a grand slam off him earlier this year. Maybe it was Varsho. Somebody hit a grand slam off Nick Sandlund. Ryan Burr, who is probably a big league reliever, but he's nothing special. Brandon Littell from the left side has a good singer, gets ground balls great, but he's nothing special. Zach Poop should be sent to Mars. Tommy Nance has a good curveball. But again, like, the ages too of some guys in our bullpen. Chad Green will be 34 this year. Jimmy Garcia will be 35 this year. Tommy Nance, 34 this year. Like, even Ryan Burr's 31. Like, there's not a ton of guys here that you really can expect to really take a leap forward in this pen. Like, I understand we're going to sign some waiver guys and we're going to go, and the Blue Jays bullpen as a whole should be better just because it's going to be hard to be as bad as we were last year. But I'm with you, my guy. I don't think this bullpen is it. I even if things break right for a lot of players here, I still see us in the bottom third of baseball in terms of bullpen this year.
No, I totally agree. Like, our bullpen will be our Achilles heel, and like, seeing them release Hagen Danner, he would have been such a nice piece in, like, obviously early in the season, he probably would have been like lower in the depth chart, but I could have seen, like we said, be one of our, like, possibly lead the team in close saves. You have,
by the way, about Hagen Danner, before you go on to the rest point there, he has yet to be claimed by another team, by the way. And I think tomorrow is the last day a team can claim him. So if we go through tomorrow and you don't hear anything about Hagen Danner, assume he just cleared waivers and is still in our system. So there is hope still for Hagen Danner, but continue.
No, exactly. Like, if we're miraculously he's still on our roster, that's great. Because I remember when before he had that leak injury in 23, he was killed, like, laying it up in AAA. He got like some good relievers in the farm system, yes, but are they like elite back end relievers? Not yet. But could they be? Yes, but
sure. Anyway,
I don't want to take that chance though, because you have big names like Karen Scott, Jeff Hoffman, and some others that I'm probably blanking on, but like, you have those names. Why aren't you like adding them? Yes, I know you don't like long-term deals for closers, because it's reports Karen Scott wants 4 years. Yes, it'd be a good deal, price, possibly good price, but he's no like Josh Hader price range though.
And the Blue Jays, this front office never really gives out multi-year deals to relievers. They've done it now to Jimmy Garcia twice. Chad Green once, and Shun Yamaguchi was the other one that we gave a multi-year deal to. So I don't think the Blue Jays are going to do it with any of those relievers. It's just a rule, I suppose, they have. I will give you one more, Jesse, of something I want to leave behind in 2024 before we can start making some predictions about the 2025 season. I want the Blue Jays to quit saying things like, we have metrics that believe our players are going to bounce back and get things. We heard that so much from like George Springer, who was struggling last year. We heard that a lot from Bo Bichette. We've heard it with guys like Alejandro Kirk in the past. And the way I look at this is that the Blue Jays will look at a player who is underperforming their expected stats and be like, yeah, they're going to bounce back to me and they're going to get there. They're absolutely going to do it. But when a player overachieves their expected stats, think about Kevin Kiermaier, not this past year, but the year before, he was really good. Think about maybe like what Will Wagner did. Think about what Davis Schneider did in his rookie year. Players who overperform their expected stats, the Blue Jays are like, nope, that's who they are. These are these players. You can't have it both ways. So I'm really tired of the Blue Jays just saying, yeah, we think they're going to bounce back, and maybe just accept that these players might not be as good as you think they are and do something to fix it. And that's what I want to hope we leave behind next year, and the Blue Jays have a quick change into doing that in 2025.
Well, exactly. That's like Blair Barker said, like those the khaki quotes, and like even the one I'll add on to that. If I hear "tip your cap" one more time by Josh Schneider next year, I don't know what I'll do. Like, yes, I say it as a joke on here, but like that was ridiculous. Yeah. Like, no, you got owned by the pitcher. Yeah, you can. It'd be like, yeah, tip the cap to like they did a good job, but don't use it every freaking game when you guys can't hit the ball.
Right, like the other pitcher was good, but your hitters are also supposed to be good. And you know what? You're in the major leagues. Find a way to hit good pitching. There are good pitchers everywhere, right? If this team is serious, which we laugh at about actually trying to make a playoff run here, you're going to run into nothing but good pitching, right? You're going to have to find a way to hit good pitching. So don't tip your cap. Tipping your cap isn't going to do shit, right? Find a way to hit that good curveball. Find a way to hit that 97-mile-per-hour fastball on the brick. Like, you have coaching staffs in here. You have players with talent. Figure it out. And I am with you, my guy. I don't want to hear that tip your cap thing ever again.
No, like, if anything, I'll just use it as a mockery. But, like, this, or, like, the only way I'll accept it is if, say, you got to tip your cap to, say, someone throwing a no-no. Like, yeah, that's well worth, like, well deserved a tip of the cap, but, or, like, a hat salute. But, no, if you guys get owned by scrub cut, like the one or Alexander from Tampa when he first career started, he owned us.
Ridiculous. Oh, man.
No, you can't take your cap for that. You guys should have been prepared, like, and have your scouting department figure out who this guy is and what they do and what to sit on. Not, we're going to take your cap off for a debut.
Yeah, Tyler Alexander, good pitcher, sure. He's a soft throwing lefty. You are a team full of right handed mashers. Like, you don't need analytics to tell you you should be teeing off on that guy, but. I remember that game. That drove me nuts. I think that was an Apple TV game, if I remember correctly. But yeah, not fun. Not fun. Absolutely. Jesse, we're going to get into some predictions here for the 2025 season. But just two more things I wanted to say that we leave behind next year. We kind of already touched on this one. I'm sick and tired of hearing that we're front runners on guys. It sounds to me like this is the guy who's going through a divorce, but he wants to prove to the divorce lawyer, look here, I'm trying. I'm really trying to save our marriage, when in reality, all you do is go home and, you know, you do nothing. You drink your face off or whatever it is. You're not really trying. You're just trying to save public face. So that's one of them there. I don't want them to be hesitant on calling a guy up from the minors either. If a guy is producing in Buffalo, and you mentioned on this a little bit earlier, just bring him up, right? Prospects can fail. Getting that extra year of service time, phenomenal. That's 6 years down the line. Who cares if it's not the best way of asset management? Like, Spencer Horwitz should have been called up like a month prior to when he was actually called up. Alan Roden was phenomenal last year. You needed thump. You didn't call him up. Hagen Danner, we've mentioned. There are a couple relievers you've mentioned as well. Like, don't be afraid to give these guys a run. And if they suck, send them back down. I don't think you should be too worried about stunting their development. If they're good, call them up. So that's one I want to see. And yeah, just better lineup construction. Like, George Springer cannot be getting the second most at-bats on this team next year. Plain and simple. End of story. Those are all things I wanted to leave behind in 2024. Did you have another one or maybe a thought on any of those?
Oh, definitely. Like, the whole prospect. Like, if they're hot, bring them up. Like, you'll find a way to fit them in the lineup. And don't just sit them on the bench if they're hot. You play them and keep the momentum going that they're doing. Even if it's in AA and they're like, hey, say 400 in AA, I think you can skip AAA and handle the major league. Like,
right.
Or if or even if your defensive abilities are elite and like you have a hole at, say, shortstop, say if Bo is down or whoever's playing shortstop, bring up a Kasevich who's a freaking defensive, like, right. solid. Yeah, maybe his bat's not there, but as this team likes, run prevention. They want their third straight team gold glove. You need to stop the run somehow. Like, play them. Mm-hmm. Play the players who are hot or can help benefit being up there and helping.
Right. And I don't think there's ever a bad thing of giving a guy a taste of major league experience, right? Get him up there. Get the culture. Like, it's absolutely worth it, in my opinions. Like, having a guy just rot down in New Hampshire to go hot. And so, yeah, it'll give the Fisher Cats a few extra wins. Like, good for them. But I'm with you. Let these guys come up and let them produce. For those of you listening, if you have any things you'd like to leave behind in 2024, leave a comment. We will talk to them. We will interact with them. Please do so. But Jesse, let's get into the fun part. 20 minutes left in our episode here. Let's make some predictions for the 2025 season here. And you can take this any way you'd like. You can go with players we acquire, records that we set. You can talk about whether or not you think the Blue Jays are going to go into a full-on teardown. You can talk about maybe take a stab at some cool promotion we're going to run this year. Anywhere you want to go with this, but give me a Blue Jays-related prediction for the 2025 season.
And this one might hurt. I have one that I was going to say for a bold take, but I'll say it now because I know with how long I've been ranting right now, but I feel like if the Jays are 10 games below 500 entering July,
okay,
Vladdy and Bo will be shipped out, and that's when the nuke of the rebuild will occur.
Okay. So we're going to, in this scenario, we're going to have to sit through 3 to 4 bad months of Blue Jays baseball before they really do anything, eh?
I feel like it'll start sooner with certain players, but like I feel like the big dominoes of the two big free agents we have that possibly could be producing, but our team just isn't helping them, to possibly bring that like prospect pool that could finally fix our farm system, or possibly give the youth of the Jays of the Buffalo, the new resurgence of Buffalo Boys.
So Jesse, I agree with you. That was actually one of the takes that I had as well. I want to throw Chris Bassett's name in that list as well. I think he could be one that would be on the move there too. At this point, look, if you're not going to re-sign Vladimir Guerrero Jr., then you have to trade him. You have to. I understand we're probably not going to get as much back as you think we should for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but the team that acquires him is only getting him for half a year, right? You'll probably get an intriguing prospect and maybe a low-level depth guy, but you're not getting a top 10 prospect in all of baseball back for him. Like, I think the time to trade him was probably either last deadline or at least maybe some point this offseason if you are not going to re-sign him. I think letting him go out under a contract year and hoping you can sneak into that third wildcard spot is a mistake. So if you've decided you're not making a run with this team and you can't re-sign him, then a trade has to be made, because you can't have what the Raptors did with letting their core get too old and not getting anything for them.
Exactly. Or even with like some of the Leafs back in the pre-lockout, you had one of the oldest teams, and then we went 13 years with no playoffs because we had no prospects. Like, like it's a Toronto sports franchise kryptonite of trying to hold on to something you have that you should have destroyed years prior. Like, even though, like, I'll even say, like, one of the things I feel like they'll do too is if they're both, like, again, 10 games below 500, I feel like Schneider will, like, see, should be harder than the sun right now, and he'll be out by May if they're 10 games outside of.
This season too, by the way, is the last season John Schneider's under contract. He does have a club option for next year. Mark Shapiro's only under option for one more year. Ross Atkins is under here for one more season. Like, I do think this is a year of transition for the Toronto Blue Jays, and I think the day we just clean house with all of them is likely going to come at some point this calendar year, Jesse. I agree with you. For my prediction, do you want a fun one, or do you want a kind of sad and not so great one? Which one would you like to go?
Let's just spread some positivity for, because it's been pretty negative on my side today, but there's a lot of reasons.
I am calling my shot now. 2025 is going to be the year the Blue Jays finally get a no-hitter. It will happen this year. Bowden Francis came close twice last year. Alek Manoah has flirted with this thing in the past. I know Jose Berríos in Baltimore carried one late into the season. I do think the Blue Jays are finally going to get a no-hitter this season. Now, the likely candidate is probably going to be a combined no-hitter, but that's not fun. We don't want that. And I'm going to call my shot right now. The guy who throws a no-hitter for the Toronto Blue Jays this year, Alek Manoah, late in the season, coming back from his TJ, puts it together where he has a stretch. That is a very bold take, and it might not be Manoah, but I do think this is the season it finally does happen for the Toronto Blue Jays.
I like it. I definitely can see that too happening with, like, I was would have said Alek Francis again, but
likely, but
I can really see even, like, for some reason, Chris Bassett doing it. Like, he just needs a guy to throw no-no.
Right, like, he just, the line drives get hit right at guys, you know, he might walk a guy or two, but he gets some double plays behind him. Like, Chris Bassett is a trendy pick for a no-hitter, so mostly because I really want to see one. Like, the Texas Rangers or the Houston Astros have had, like, 40 of these. Blue just had one in team history. Like, come on, this is the year it's going to happen. Let's give it to us. Jesse, give me another bold prediction, or a prediction for 2025 that you got here.
This one is coming, like, from, like, the one of the injury Blue Jays, like you talked about, Manoah. I feel like Ricky Tiedemann will finish the year as our closer.
Oh, the closer. Interesting. I never thought about that. That'd be a very interesting call here. It could work, right? You bring him up. You want to leverage some innings. You want to build him up a little bit. You put him into that bullpen, and then he just has the flashes of dominance and works his way up there. I could see it. If that is the case, though, you're likely probably not putting Ricky Tiedemann in as a starter anymore. You're probably, like, leveraging up, like, your bullpen as your home, which, honestly, a great left-handed reliever who can get you some strikeouts isn't the worst necessary scenario for Ricky Tiedemann.
No, exactly. I'm taking that from, like, what they did with Pearson, like, trying to make him a starter, just it failed. So, with, and, like, we've seen in his flashes in the minors and even spring training, him short, like, short outings, he can dominate. Like, so I feel like it just is more suited for how, like, his repertoire and, like, style of pitching. He's a short inning guy, so, like, I can't see him as a pitcher anymore, or a starter, I should say.
Never thought of that, but that is a great call. I do like that. Here's a fun question from Call Me Sweeps on Twitter. It says, who simply leaves the franchise first, Ross Atkins or Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? I love the question, Jesse. I'll get your answer on it.
Oh, knowing how bad this franchise is, I definitely can see Vladdy leaving first because, again, Shapiro isn't at, or Atkins is a Shapiro guy. I feel like if Shapiro is still in office, Atkins isn't leaving.
Yeah, I almost wonder if you have to leave the decision to trade Vladimir Guerrero Jr. under the next manager's hand. Like, I think back of when Roy Halladay was still a Blue Jay. Like, it wasn't J.P. Ricciardi who was going to trade Roy Halladay. I think it was Alex Anthopoulos who came in, and one of his first moves as a Toronto Blue Jays general manager was to do the Roy Halladay trade. So I think you need to let the next crew of people decide what to do with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., which, I say that, the Blue Jays aren't always the smartest organization, so maybe they'll do something stupid with that. But I think it's going to be Ross Atkins out first over Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Fun question, though, Call Me Sweeps. We do like that one. I'm going to go with my next bold prediction here, Jesse, and we've been very similar on a few of them here. I have that the Blue Jays won't, Bobichet, Chris Bassett don't finish the team on the team. Jays will get a no-hitter. I think the bullpen is bad. I think the Blue Jays are going to lead baseball in blown saves this season, but we've already talked on the Toronto Blue Jays bullpen. One of them I have here, and this is not a good one. This one might not get some love here. In fact, this might be a negative take, but I think Will Wagner will spend more time in the minor leagues this season than on the big league roster. And I say that, one, because the Blue Jays have a lot of infield depth. Steamer projections seem to love him, but I'm kind of getting a little bit of the Davis Schneider rookie season vibes here from Will Wagner, where he was really good and really hot. But if you look under the hood, you know, a lot of his hits were just ground balls that found poles, can't hit lefties. Third base isn't a best defensive home for Will Wagner. And I don't know how much is really there from a guy who took a big leap up. So I hope I'm wrong because I want to love Will Wagner, and this Blue Jays team really does need the offensive impact a guy like him could provide. But I just think he'll probably get buried down in AAA, get some development down there, and we'll see more of, like, an Aroldis Martinez, an Ernie Clement, or maybe someone from outside of the organization getting more at-bats at third base this season.
Oh, definitely. I can definitely see that, where a lot of these young kids will be more in Buffalo compared to before, like, because our the depth we have in the middle infield and just in general is way too many that a team should really have of second baseman, shortstops, or even third baseman. So
I can definitely see that. I don't want it to be true, either, just because Will Wagner could be so fun. He could be awesome, right? He could be all this stuff, but I'm not buying the hype nearly as much as other people. And with that being said, too, I want to throw in, David Schneider finds his power stroke a little bit and just becomes a league average hitter. So, like, I think right now he's kind of being like the forgotten guy on the Blue Jays lineup right now. And I still see some flashes. He was terrible last year, like downright awful. I think he ended the season on like a 1-for-35 stretch to David Schneider. But I do think he comes into spring, he'll perform up a little bit better and actually just turns into a league average player this year.
No, I definitely can see that. Like, I would hope that he becomes league average, but I'm just, there's a lot of proving he has to, has to do for me and all that. And after last season, and a lot of these young kids too, will need to have a lot of proving to do for us. So, but we'll see though.
We will see indeed. Jesse, did you want to give me another one? Another prediction you have for the 2024-2025 season?
I'm trying to think of a good one.
I can go with another one while you think, if you'd like.
I got a good one, and this all depends on if he makes it with the whole Varsho injury. Jonathan Class A, 50 stolen bases.
50? Wow. That's a big number. I don't think I'd have to look when the last time the Blue Jays had a 50 stolen base guy was. I feel like it's been quite a while.
I don't think they ever did.
But there are some signs of it, right? Like, he's young enough, and usually these players run more when they are that young. In his short time up, he already led the Blue Jays in like several base running categories, like bursts. Sprint speed was the highest. He's one of the few guys who actually has elite sprint speed. He's going to need the opportunity, and he's going to have to show he can get on base enough. But if that's the case, that's bold. Jesse, save that for our bold prediction episode, but it's possible, I suppose.
Oh, I definitely think, you know, like, especially with Varsho being out for the first probably 2 months of the season, I feel like the Jays need to put him, give him the run at center field until Varsho's back. And even like the few games he played, I think it was only 9 with the Jays when he came up in September. That first game when he was so fast he slid over a base, I remember both me and you were like, never seen that one before. So, like, that speed is, like, yes, speed regression, but he's at that age where, like, he can do it. And, like, his the year before, the 23 season, he had 20 home runs, 79 stolen bases. Yes, it's double A, but 79 stolen bases can play even in the majors with that type of speed.
Yeah, the Jays have had 6 50 stolen base seasons in franchise history, and the most recent one was Shannon Stewart in 1998. So we have not had a 50 stolen bag season since that time. Rajai Davis was the closest in 2012 and 2013. We've had to a 50 stolen base stolen bag guy. So I do like that, especially, hey, if the Blue Jays are trying to run a little bit more to steal some bags, it's easier to steal bases now than ever it was before. He's just going to have to get the playing time. I worry that the Blue Jays are going to go with like a Stuart Baroa or a Nathan Lucas over a guy like Jonathan Class A, especially to start. But good spring training. He gets in the lineup, show he can hit. Jesse, I like it. I do like that one. My next one here is, I think I'm going to take a big season picture in line here. I think the Blue Jays are actually going to finish closer to 500 than we think next year. I'd imagine we'll probably get a little bit of cluster luck. We're going to get a nice bounce back story from somewhere. We're probably going to finish around 500. We're still going to miss the playoffs. We're still not going to be the team that we really do think we can be. But I think we're going to muddle in there. And part of it is going to be because I think the Blue Jays put up a 10-game winning streak at some point this season. Probably after the trade deadline when we've already moved some pieces. It'll be one of those things where one of these players or maybe two or three of them all get hot at the same time. But I don't remember the last Blue Jays 10-game winning streak. 2016, maybe, is when the last time it was. I know, I think we're kind of due for a big win streak, and I don't think it'll happen, but let's get freaky. Let's say it happens at some point this year.
Why not us?
Why not us? That's right. You know, maybe we can be like the Tigers of this year, where we just randomly get hot out of nowhere, and we get up there, and that's probably going to be the path to success for how the Blue Jays do it this year. But I'm gonna take my foot in the ground and say that's where it's gonna be.
I like it.
Thank you. I do too. Jesse, did you have any others? Any other bold predictions? Any other thoughts? Maybe a cool stab at a promotion the Blue Jays are gonna run this year. If you want to get creative, did you want to think maybe a new jersey revealing this year, or it doesn't even have to be an on the field related. It could be off the field related. Like, I don't know, maybe Ernie Clements becomes famous for appearing on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or something. Like, you can go wild. Jesse, did you have any others?
I got two that I just one for a promotion.
Okay.
Andreas Jimenez, ball, tree topper.
Tree topper?
For yeah, like just how we like a Christmas ornament, because knowing how
okay
it's the time you do like Christmas ornament, like how they do the ugly sweaters and stuff like that.
Right.
Is it Andreas like or Christmas ornament?
Okay. The Blue Jays haven't really done. I haven't seen. At least I don't own any Blue Jays Christmas ornaments. I know that they've been a thing in the past, but it's tough to think about that come the midseason. I think we're going to get an Ernie Clement golf bag promotion or something to do with his golfing thing. Him and Davis Schneider, you'll get like a bobblehead of them on the golf course or something. And the Blue Jays are going to go that route because we know Ernie is quite the good golfer.
Or like a driver cover like for your clubs.
Yes. Yes, correct. So I think we're going to get something like that this year. Do you want to make a prediction on, like, we haven't talked much about Kevin Gausman, Jose Berríos, even Bowden Francis or a Jake Bloss. Did you want to throw a dart at maybe a pitching prediction for this year?
Jake Bloss will have a phenomenal first half of the season with all their injuries, come out of spring training hot.
Okay.
And finish top five in Rookie of the Year.
I love that. The Blue Jays haven't really, like, Eric Hinsky, I believe, is our only Rookie of the Year we've ever had. Horowitz got votes this year, but didn't really finish that high in voting either. I think it's time that the Blue Jays have a guy who makes a serious run at Rookie of the Year. I like it. If it's not Jake Bloss, Jesse, do you have another candidate? I mean, if Jonathan Class A steals 50 bags, he's going to be in the Rookie of the Year conversation here. So do you have a prediction maybe of who's most likely to be our top Rookie of the Year candidate?
Maybe a surprise. I would say Aurelvis could possibly be a Rookie of the Year candidate. But I don't know if the rules because of the suspension, if that affects his rookie eligibility. But I would say Aurelvis if he's eligible.
But it might. And let's not forget about Alan Rodon, who was just very good, who I still think is going to be traded, by the way, but just in case he's here and he still gets playing time, he did some really impressive things down in the minor leagues last year. And if they do continue in the next year, he could be a trend. It's wild. It's the first time in a while, I think, the Blue Jays have had so many separate candidates that could be Rookie of the Year eligible here, which is quite fascinating.
Oh, I agree. And I'll give another prediction. It's more with the draft. Okay. A catcher. There's a specific catcher at Notre Dame. I know his first name's Ike. I believe he will be the first round pick by the Jays.
Noted. Love that. We will keep that done. And obviously, we will talk more about the draft because the Blue Jays have a top 10 pick. So come June or July when the draft does roll around, we will get someone. Maybe we'll even get in a draft expert guy to come on the show and talk about it here. As we await, this will do the end of our episode here. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for all of you who tuned in. Thank you for all of you who left a comment and interaction with us during the show. Big things coming as we get forward into the month of January. We're going to start taking a look at the players on the field. We're going to start breaking down. I think next episode, we're going to do our Blue Jays infielders, talk a little bit about that, what to expect. Can we get big seasons? We're going to do a milestones update. And then soon we're going to get right into spring training as we get into our season preview mode over here at Buds and Blue Jays. Yes, it's cold. There's snow on the ground all throughout Ontario, but we are thinking baseball over here at Buds and Blue Jays. And as the calendar turns to 2025, we are one step closer to spring training.
Can't say better myself. And definitely this cold weather can leave. Like, even though I grew up here, I can't stand this cold weather. I'd rather be at the diamond with the roof open, cold beverage in my hand of choice, and just soaking up the sun.
It'll be soon, my guy. It'll be here before you know it. March 27th, 3 p.m. opening day. Come see Jesse and I out there. We'll be there with a few people. We'll probably be bouncing around. So come say hello to us if you see us there. Please make sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, follow us on all your social media platforms. We are available anywhere you can find your podcasts. So please make sure to leave a 5-star review. Tell a friend. Get hyped for the Toronto Blue Jays season as we are planning on bringing on more guests, more people, doing more interviews as we get closer into the season. It's going to be a fun time. Buckle up and get in with us now, as we have big things coming going forward. Jesse, any last thoughts before we head out of here?
All I gotta say is goodbye 2024, hello 2025, and all the big things coming on this channel that we have in the works.
Love it. Very excited. For Jesse Trucio, I'm Jesse Burrell. We will see you next week, unless there is, of course, some major breaking news. But until then, let's go Blue Jays.
Thanks, guys.